This is the Trails Church podcast. At the Trails Church, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community and on mission. If you'd like more information about our church, visit our website, thetrails.org. Now, here's today's podcast.
Open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 2. On September the 10th, 2023, we first turned the page to a new book of the Bible to explore the book of Acts. Few places in Scripture are as thrilling, as life-transforming, as mission-clarifying as this book. It is rightly being called the source book for the spread of Christianity. And you might remember back on some remarkable scenes that we've studied that we wouldn't have if they weren't recorded here in Scripture, like fire falling from the sky and the Holy Spirit filling the hearts of early believers, thousands coming to faith in Christ, or a lame man walking and leaping and
praising God.
Yes, that's a kid's song. You might not know it. We'll move on, but that's how it goes. That was just in the first three chapters. This morning marks our 69th sermon we've heard from this wonderful book. And technically, we crossed the finish line last week with Acts 28. Yet, I thought it would be fitting for us to spend one more Lord's Day looking back, tracing our journey through the book of Acts, while also turning our gaze forward to what some scholars call the 29th chapter of Acts, or Acts 29. That's one way of describing the continuing work of the risen Lord Jesus through time and through space and through his church today. So in our time together, I'd like us to pastorally review our mission statement as a church against the backdrop of the mission of the church we see in Acts as a means of encouragement as we move forward together. For those of you who are new to the Trails, our mission statement is this: we exist to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel, in community, and on mission. This means at the very center of our life together and in all that we do is to bring glory to God, glory to the name of Jesus. And the unique way that the church, local churches, are called to do that is by being and making disciples of Jesus. So how do we go about that? Well, this is where the rest fits in. We do that through the ongoing power of the gospel in the context of biblical community and living together in the great mission that God has called us to. As we begin, let me just invite you, whether this is your 69th sermon in the book of Acts or maybe just your second, how has the message of Acts shaped your life and faith? How has the message of Acts shaped your life and faith? The book of Acts tells the story of how the risen Christ advances his kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel, resulting in a growing church who is continually sent on mission. Let me say that once more. The book of Acts tells the story of how the risen Christ advances his kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel, resulting in a growing church who is continually sent on mission. We've highlighted throughout our study how this book is full of the joy of gospel advancement. And so as we reflect back and look ahead, we're invited into the same joy. This book calls us to experience first joy rooted in the gospel. Second, joy experienced in Christian community. And third, joy spreading on mission. So we have our heading. Normally, I would invite you to stand to your feet as we read, but I'm going to, and if you're new to the Trails, the kind of preaching that we practice is known as expositional preaching, We just work verse by verse through books of the Bible and expose what God has said to us through the Word. Well, we've done that for now for 68 weeks on this book. So what I'll do this morning is topically deal with the book of Acts, pulling at some different threads and trying to weave together the message of Acts and just let that press into our hearts as a local church. So just remain seated, if you will, and we'll be all over the book of Acts. By the way, every Lord's Day, you should bring your Bible. I know they're on your phones, but just books are better. Just bring a Bible. It's good. Okay, now we get to work. The first pattern we've seen is joy rooted in the gospel. And here I want to point your attention to Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. Because the good news of Jesus resounds through the book of Acts. In the Gospels, Christ himself proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God, calling sinners to repentance and faith. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, those are the first words out of Jesus' mouth, calling people to repentance and faith. You can see that in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Well, the book of Acts continues this call as Jesus sends his church to carry forth the same life-giving message. This message that includes both sharing and believing. Both of these are seen vividly in Acts 2, 36 to 41. Look with me. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Think back with me how the book of Acts shows us the joy of sharing Christ. As a matter of fact, the word witness is one of the main themes that drives the narrative continually forward. One of the striking characteristics of Acts is how central the proclamation of the gospel is to the life of the early church. Did you know nearly one-third of the book of Acts consists of speeches, 32 speeches in total, and they're all primarily a witness to Christ in one form or another. In fact, much of the theological material we learn from the book of Acts is contained in these speeches. We've heard already from Acts 2, but even Peter and those early Christians whose lives had been transformed by the grace of Jesus would never stop talking to others about the grace of Jesus. Later in Acts chapter 7, Stephen addresses a group of religious leaders of Israel with a history of God's covenant faithfulness, concluding with a piercing rebuke for their rejection of Jesus as the promised Messiah. In Acts 6, Deacon Philip is on a road trip, and the Lord divinely leads him to an Ethiopian eunuch. And beginning from the book of Isaiah, Philip shares the good news of this suffering servant who has come to die in the place of sinners. In Acts 17, Paul speaks to a sophisticated group of philosophers in Athens, declaring in front of people whose lives are filled with endless gods that there is one true God worthy of unending worship and praise, calling them to repent and believe in the God of the Bible. And in each of these moments, a witness stands before an audience filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly proclaiming, testifying, witnessing to the very same message of the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, the unchanging message that we still proclaim today, that salvation is found through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is the only source of joy available to us. This is the only salvation for sinners. So there's the joy of sharing Christ. And the other side of this same coin is the joy of believing. The joy of believing. The gospel not only goes forth with power in the book of Acts, it also bears fruit in the lives of many different people and in many different places. We read of how in this crowd we just read of in Acts chapter 2, these travelers from all over the known world who had flooded into Jerusalem for Passover, that they heard the good news of Jesus and they were cut to the heart by the message. They reply, well, what do we do? And there it is, Peter's simple response. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts 9, we read the first of three separate accounts recorded in the book of Acts of the glorious conversion of the apostle Paul, once an enemy of Christ, who then was transformed into a worshiper of Jesus. He heard the very words of Christ, the voice of Jesus ringing out. And he was transformed from a persecutor to perhaps the church's most influential leader. Or in Acts 16, do you remember Lydia, the successful business owner from Asia? And Luke says, when she hears the good news of the gospel, that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was being said. Later in that same chapter, a Philippian jailer is brought to trembling, genuine faith after the result of an earthquake setting free his prisoners. And he asks the same question as the people in Jerusalem. What must I do to be saved? And I just wonder if there's anyone in this room asking this morning, what must I do to be saved? Is that question echoing in the back of your heart? I'm a sinner through and through. I don't need to be convinced. I need a Savior. What do I do? And again, the answer is the same. You can look for yourself. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's not go home and clean yourself up first. It's not make sure you've got all of your theology in order. No, if you know that you need a sinner, you can turn to Christ in this very moment and find him a Savior. And as we trace this pattern of the gospel being shared and believed, we're reminded that none of this happened in the book of Acts because of the persuasive power of an evangelist, nor any effort of a hearer of the gospel, but it was the work of Christ through and through, that Jesus did it all. Even in the preaching of the gospel, it's Christ himself making this appeal to men through his people. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. But in every gospel call, we hear the heart of Christ himself, who came to seek and to save the lost. So what makes this good news so good? Why is this gospel so worthy that it must be continually shared and believed? I'm so glad that one of you just asked. Well, the answer is found right here in this book, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If the book of Acts teaches us anything, it is this: true joy, real salvation can only be found in Jesus. Joy cannot be rooted in the circumstances of our life or our accomplishments or our strength. It rests in the finished work of Jesus, who lived and died and rose again in the place of sinners, so that we might stand before God accepted. And so let me just ask you, those of you who are believers in the room, is your joy rooted in Jesus? Is the finished work of Christ still good news to you? Has it transformed everything about your life? Not in your record of faithfulness, not in your success within ministry or how fruitful your life is, not in how well your life is going, but is your joy in Jesus, who lived and died and rose for you? And are you growing in your understanding of that gospel? Some of you need to receive forgiveness from Jesus for the first time here this morning. I pray that you would, by the power of his Spirit. Many of us just need to be renewed by the gospel this morning, to have it sink deeper down in us and produce the kind of fruit that's in keeping with repentance. I pray that the Lord might do that here among us this morning. The second pattern we find in the book of Acts is joy experienced in Christian community. Acts 2, 42 through 47. From the very beginning, the Spirit doesn't just save individuals in isolation, but forms a new community, gathering us together for worship and witness. Our faith comes with a family. Our faith comes with a family, and we call that the local church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 paints one of the most compelling pictures of Christian community in the scriptures. So much that we spent 8 weeks of our life together working through this passage, because it offers a window into the very heart of the first church in Jerusalem. Would you read with me, beginning in verse 42? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the introduction to this church, we learn so much about them, beginning with this one word, devoted. A heartfelt commitment is what this word devoted means, like a faithful, loving spouse. They were devoted to these four things, these four heads: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And from that flows all of this life together. Our practice from the very beginning of planting this church is, in membership classes, I ask participants to work through this very paragraph at the table with other people, and they come up with their own list of characteristics. I've asked before in this service who remembers doing that, and it's always incredibly disappointing. So I'm not even going to do it now, but I hope you remember. And if you can't remember, let me just assign this for your homework. This afternoon, tomorrow, as you have the day off perhaps, I want to encourage you to spend time looking at Acts 42 through 47. Seeing the characteristics and the life of Christ that resonates so deeply and genuinely in this early church. And just hold this up against your own life and think, is my life reflecting these same kind of characteristics? Is my life revolving around the people of God, helping to build them up so that the church could be all that it's meant to be? And there's so many other scenes showing the same kind of patterns here. The next summary that Luke includes is in Acts 4, 32 through 35. This is another summary of how the church lived together. Acts 14 shows the church growing in faith together. Acts 17 shows the Bereans searching the scriptures to discern what was true together. In Acts 20, Paul stands and bids farewell to the Ephesian elders. They're weeping and praying together, kneeling in the sand, saying gospel goodbyes. And Paul goes on, why all the weeping? Why the pain of that goodbye? Because they loved one another so genuinely and deeply. They cared about one another because of Christ. Against opposition and persecution, through suffering and sickness, through dispersion and hunger, through all of it, the people of God experienced deep joy in being together and in following Jesus together. And what we see in the blueprint of the New Testament is a compelling vision to what we want to experience today as a local church. And here, just as the pastor of the Trails, let me say how much I love you and how grateful I am to God for you. I see evidences of God's grace throughout this room, even in this very moment. Fully aware of the ways that you love and care for one another, your commitment to seeing one another grow in Christ, giving not only of your time, but your heart. I praise the Lord for that. It's fitting as we come to the conclusion of the book of Acts to pause and praise God for all of the good that he's doing in the life of our church. I am so grateful. Join me in giving thanks to the Lord for that. And yet, at the same time, there is, I think, also a warning here not to let our vision of the local church grow into what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called a wish dream. A wish dream. Essentially, where the expectations we place on our local church are so high that no one can live up to them, including ourselves. This is what he writes. The man who fashions a visionary ideal of community demands that it be realized by God, by others, and by himself. He enters the community of Christians with his demands, sets up his own law, and judges the brethren and God himself accordingly. When his ideal picture is destroyed, he sees the community going to smash. So he becomes first an accuser of his brethren, then an accuser of God, and finally the despairing accuser of himself. The fastest way I know for you to lose your joy in being a part of the local church is starting to hold a level of perfection that it cannot meet or exceed, which is the same level that you cannot meet or exceed, and none of us can. Every local church is a group of covenanted sinners following a sinless Savior. We need the grace of Jesus at every step. I don't think this is too much of a danger for us, but it will continue to be one. So let's just be on guard together to love the church God has given us, to welcome and receive one another with the same grace and patience that Jesus has shown to each of us. And may he continue to form and fashion us in this a Christian community. And we know the great joy that that brings. The final pattern we see in the book of Acts is joy spreading in mission. Joy spreading in mission. And here, I want to bring in the words of John Stott. I've quoted him more than one preacher should throughout this book because he's been so helpful to me personally. And this is what he says. Those first Jerusalem Christians were not so preoccupied with learning, sharing, and worshiping that they forgot about witnessing. For the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit who created a missionary church. You catch that? So our commitment is to grow deep in Christ together. But never does that work just terminate on us. Rather, there's an ongoing outward-facing expression to every local church. And we see this theme running through the book of Acts. The same gospel that gathers us in the name of Jesus also scatters us for the name of Jesus. And the blueprint for this is seen very clearly in Acts 1, verses 6 to 11. So with your Bible open still, maybe on just the left page as it is in mine, look with me at Acts 1, verses 6 to 11. If you have to turn, it's on page 1850. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now, here we've arrived at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which you need to know is the thesis of the whole book of Acts. So it's the whole book contained in one sentence. It's the table of contents. It is the outline. It's the programmatic statement for the whole book. It's where Luke tells us what he's going to then show us. And this is exactly what we've seen in the ongoing mission of the church. Chapters 1 through 7 of the book show the gospel echoing through the streets of Jerusalem. Chapters 8 to 11 go beyond the city borders, spilling over into Judea and Samaria, even as persecution pushes the church also outside of Jerusalem. From chapter 13 onward, we're tracing the missionary journeys of Paul toward Asia Minor and Greece and finally to Rome, fulfilling the words of Jesus that Paul would in fact take the good news of Christ further and further into the world, standing even in the city of Rome. And of course, along the way, things were never easy. There's not a paragraph or page of this book where the church ever just lets down their guard and thinks, "This is easier than we thought." Did you see that happen in this book? No, not once. It is continually facing challenges and opposition. In fact, one of the themes of Acts is how to navigate problems of every kind as the mission of the church marches on. There were practical problems that showed up in the church in Jerusalem in Acts 6 when a dispute arose. With all the growth they were having, there were numerous widows, and some widows were being better provided for than others. They were being overlooked, not because intentional reasons, but just because there were so many necessary needs that were showing itself in the church. And so then the church puts forth these prototypical deacons, these servants who would help care for the needs of the growing church. And the result, Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. They continued to face outward and united in their witness. Fast forward to Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. The Holy Spirit calls the church in Antioch to set apart two of their very best, Barnabas and Paul, for mission. They didn't hold them back. They could have said, "Hey, this is working so well in Antioch." They were seeing tremendous fruit that was reported back to the church in Jerusalem. Things were going great. Why would we mess this up? But no, the church was provided for, so they were able to set aside and send their very best for the sake of other churches. And of course, Acts 21 to the end shows Paul continually moving forward and forward to new places, new people, wanting to see the gospel spread further and further, even to the ends of the earth. And here, let me just remind you that from the mentality of the apostles, do you know where the ends of the earth is? Collin County, Texas. Welcome to the ends of the earth. I know some of you, if you're a native Texan, you think actually this is the center of the world, the center of the universe perhaps. But no, to the apostolic mind, this is the ends of the earth. And yet, here we are, gathered in the name of Jesus. Because people long ago endured suffering, risking their lives, leaving behind everything that they knew, so that other people would have access to the gospel that you and I have believed. And that good news jumped an ocean and through the prairies and through the woods, over the rivers, and here we are. How good is our God? And the result? We know the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because believers resisted the urge to turn inward. They continued to face outward. And so here's my encouragement. And it's twofold. Let's keep growing deeper. This is our focus. To grow deeper in the gospel. To let our lives be built on and sustained by the word of God. To love one another as a demonstration of Christ loving us. And to grow wider. Continuing to hold out the hope of Jesus to our neighbors and to the nations. Opening our homes and our hearts and this church to all who would join us, to any who would believe and receive the good news of Christ and join us in this mission of making disciples. Well, there is Acts 1 to 28, and it felt a little ambitious, I'm just going to tell you. So, and it felt way too brief. It hasn't even been half an hour. So for those of you wanting a little more this morning, I would happily point you to our church website where you can find 68 more sermons on this glorious book. Especially those of you who have a difficult time sleeping. That is very helpful. But I do pray that this book has been an encouragement to you. And to end, I simply want to show you in summary form what I have done my best to show you with every chapter. How this book is more than just the Acts of the Apostles. It's more than just the Acts of the early church, but this truly is the Acts of the risen Christ. That the work of Jesus, the ongoing work of Jesus, is seen on every page. It is the Acts of the risen Christ by the work of his Spirit to the glory and praise of God the Father. And so just lean in, would you, as we just retrace our steps one more time, chapter by chapter, and I want to show you how Jesus Christ is at work in the book of Acts. In chapter 1, Christ promises his Spirit and ascends to the Father's side. Chapter 2, Christ sends his Spirit and adds souls to his church. Chapter 3, the name of Jesus heals a lame man. Acts 4, he fills his people with gospel boldness. Chapter 5, Christ purifies his church and magnifies his power. Chapter 6, Jesus raises up servant leaders and multiplies the ministry of the word. Chapter 7, Christ speaks through Stephen and then receives him into glory. Acts 8, Christ scatters the church and brings joy to Samaria. Acts 9, Jesus transforms his enemy into his chosen servant. Acts 10, Christ sends his message of salvation to the Gentiles. Acts 11, the Spirit of Christ moves greatly in Antioch as disciples are first called Christians. Acts 12, Jesus answers prayer, delivers his people, and even humbles a king. Acts 13, Christ sends out missionaries and opens hearts to believe. 14, Christ strengthens the church through suffering. Acts 15, Jesus preserves gospel clarity and unity in the church. Acts 16, Christ provides direction and gathers together a brand new church plant. Acts 17, Christ is proclaimed as creator and judge of all. 18, Jesus encourages his weary servant. Acts 19, Christ disturbs the worship of idols, and the word continued to increase and prevail. Chapter 20, Christ shepherds his church through faithful pastors and orchestrates gospel goodbyes. 21, Jesus leads Paul into suffering with deeper and deeper trust. 22, Christ gives Paul words to testify to God's grace. Acts 23, Christ protects his servant and rules over every scheme of the evil one. Acts 24, Jesus grants Paul boldness before power and rejection. Acts 25, Christ uses earthly trials to accomplish his heavenly purpose. Acts 26, Christ shines gospel light before kings and prisoners. Acts 27, Christ calms the storm and preserves his people. Acts 28, Christ brings the gospel to Rome unhindered. Oh, and in Acts 29, Jesus Christ says, I am with you always to the end of the age. He's at work right now in us, through us, among us. He's not stopped his working. The one who rules and reigns over all things, who is exalted to the Father's right hand, is orchestrating and conducting everything in the cosmos and everything in your life to his ultimate glory and for our exceeding joy in Jesus. Oh, I pray that we would know the joy of gospel advancement beginning in us and then through us to the praise and glory of God our Father. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that the things that we've learned, the truths communicated, the story told in the book of Acts would not only inform us but transform us to be the believers, the church that you've called us to be, when planted firmly in the gospel, in growing community, in living together on mission. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from The Trails Church. We hope you have been encouraged, equipped, and edified by time spent together in God's Word. And again, if you'd like to find out more about The Trails Church, visit our website, thetrails.org.